Fevzi, our gadget detective, is here on hand to answer your questions, your queries. Just give him a call, the number 03459 570057. And they are lining up for you as ever, Fevzi. Let's go first to Michael in Seaford. Michael, what's the issue?
Hello, Alison, Fevzi.
Hello,
yeah, the issue is to do a couple of operating systems. I've got a Linux operating system. I don't understand it entirely.
Yep.
You see, my computer guy says that it's more fail-safe than Windows. It's less hackable, so to speak. And but when I go to some sites, it comes up with a sign, this website does not have a valid certificate.
Yep.
Do you want to continue anyway, or do you want to back out, or whatever, you know, just be various alternatives? And oftentimes it's quite a kind of a reputable retail site, you know, mail order type thing, and, you know, it's nothing dodgy about it. Am I laying myself open to attacks, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, in principle, yes, you are. So security certificates are granted so that sites are who they say they are, and so you can know that. So they have to pay, they have to buy these certificates, and there's some form of checking that goes on when those certificates are granted. If a certificate goes out of date, they haven't bothered to renew it, or if they've never had one, then you will get that sort of message. Occasionally it does happen, Michael, that the message is wrong, but you can't assume it's wrong, and you have to take the precautionary approach and not go to that site.
This was a reputable mail order company. I mean, large one in the country, you know.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's not a perfect system. But there's what people do in practice, and there's what one should do. In practice, we're busy and we push ahead and we take our chances, and I couldn't really recommend that you do that. The alternative is you contact the website and ask them why am I getting this message, because it is there for your protection. And although you say it's a reputable website, obviously we're not naming any websites, it could be that the website that you think that you're at is not the website that you're at. Yeah, it could be another problem there. You could also try accessing it from a different browser and see if it objects that way or not. Sometimes that wouldn't solve the problem, but it at least says that, you know, browsers disagree about whether that's got a valid certificate or not. So you could do that, but really those certificates are there for your protection. That message is there for your protection to say to you, look, something seems not to be quite right here. So, you know, I would tend to heed the certificate. I would try, one important thing, by the way, is when you go to websites, try typing the website in its complete form by hand into the top line of your browser. Don't just go to a favorite or something like that, because it's always possible that the stored version of that website's address may be a false version.
Ah, interesting.
Maybe picked up from somewhere else. So it's worth typing it in manually, particularly if you're getting that message. With regard to Linux, by the way, Michael, you mentioned Linux. Linux is a great operating system. It actually is what is underneath Apple's Mac OS operating system, obviously with lots of bells and whistles on it. It's a fantastic operating system. It's not as user-friendly as Windows, and I wouldn't say it's inherently more secure than Windows. What I would say to you is that it presents a less attractive target for people who write viruses. They'd rather write them for Windows, because there are so many more Windows users out there.
Michael, thanks ever so much for your call. We've had this email in from Jenny in Farnborough. She says, for some time, and certainly since I went on to Windows 10, my PC screen occasionally stretches horizontally, and this drives me mad, especially when using my picture library. There is no rhyme or reason for this, and after some days it will revert to the correct resolution when it sees fit. The cycle is then repeated every few days. When it is correct, the number of resolutions on the advanced display settings amount to 10 and includes mine, which is 1080 times by 1920, whereas when the screen stretches there are only 4, none of which matches any of the 10. Can you explain why it happens, please? And because I'm not technically minded, can you give me an idiot's guide on what to do to stop this? I would be most grateful.
I would say Jenny's actually done remarkably well, given that what she's written that email, she's checked some of the right things, and she's found a display settings. So actually, well done to you, Jenny. There is a small possibility that it's a coincidence and it's your screen. I don't believe that, but I'll just flag it as a possibility. What's much more likely is that when you went to Windows 10, the drivers were updated. Now, what do I mean by that? So your computer is effectively a Meccano set. It's made up of all these different pieces from different manufacturers bolted together. One of the components that gets bolted into a computer when it's being built is the graphics card or the graphics circuitry. The graphics circuitry has to have a piece of software called a driver, which allows that particular make and model of graphics circuit to work with Windows, because you can imagine Windows wakes up in a machine and it's surrounded by all these different bits of bolted on kit. One of the great things about Windows is it will work in such a variety of machines, unlike macOS, which will only work officially, at least in machines produced by Apple. Windows can imagine Windows is booted up for the first time. It wakes up, it looks around you and says, what's all this stuff? And there's a sound card and graphics card and monitor and printer and all of those things. In order for Windows to be able to understand what they are, it requires a piece of software called a software driver, and that basically forms the communication conduit between Windows and that piece of hardware. Now, that lesson to one side, the issue is when you've gone to Windows 10, some of those drivers will have been changed or updated. You may find that you went from a driver that was written by the people who did the graphics card software, graphics card hardware, to a generic Windows driver for graphics. I suspect that's what's happened. You've moved to another driver. It's more generic. So probably what you need to do in all probability is that you need to find either a more recent version of that Windows driver for graphics, or you can go to the website of the people who make that circuit, that graphic circuit, and update with the latest version from them. That's the basics of it. I'm not going to go into it by menu by menu, but essentially you need to update your graphics driver, ideally to the one from the manufacturer of the graphics card, or if not, just get the latest one from Windows, Microsoft Windows.
I hope that helps, Jenny. If you have a question for Fevzy, our gadget detective, you can call 03 459 570057. It's 20 minutes past two. Still to come today, we're going to be finding out more about the life of Dorothy Squires, a big star back in the 40s and 50s. I'm going to be joined by one of her close friends and also her niece, as they talk about, well, her rather turbulent life, I think it's fair to say. She was married, of course, to Roger Moore. She also liked to sue people a lot. I lose track. I think there's something like 35 different legal cases she took out against people. Anyway, very interesting character, and we'll be hearing more about Dorothy Squires just after 2:30 today. Now, though, we're talking gadgets with our gadget detective, Fevzy, and Barry's given us a call from Brighton. Barry, what seems to be the problem?
It's a laptop computer which intermittently goes round again when I switch off. I turn off and it turns itself back on again.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. It's a Windows computer. Which version of Windows is it running,
it's
please?
Windows 7, Home Premium, is it, I think?
Home Edition.
Home Edition. Sorry,
yeah. Okay, so the on-off switch, is it what's known as a soft switch? In other words, is it a switch that looks the same when it's in the on and the off position, or is it one where you push it in and you can see it's locked in the position?
Sorry, this is turning off by going to shutdown on screen.
I understand, but the switch itself, is it a sort of two-position switch, or is it just one where you sort of press it and it just bounces back into the same place?
I'm doing it with the keyboard mouse, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Okay, so it may be that it hasn't shut down properly. What I would do is start up in safe mode. Just so when it's in completely in the off position and it hasn't restarted, when it's properly off, switch the machine on, and tap the F8 key, the function 8 key, every 1 to 2 seconds just after you switch it on, and keep doing that until instead of the normal Windows start screen, you get a black screen with white writing on it, as if it was a very old-fashioned computer. That will give you a menu of choices that you can select, not with a mouse, but with your arrow keys on your keyboard. And just from that menu, instead of selecting a normal Windows startup, ask it to start up in safe mode. So safe mode is a very basic diagnostic mode of Windows, where it is still starting up Windows, but it's starting it up in its most basic form. And what that will enable you to do is just start it up properly without any interference from any third-party applications. Let that process finish, and then when it's finished and you see no more activity, if you've got a disk activity light, there's no more disk activity light, wait for that and then shut it down in the normal way. One word of warning, Barry, when you go into safe mode, it will look very different. It will look like what I sometimes call the sort of the Fisher-Price version of Windows. Everything will be big and chunky and colourful and more like Lego than anything else. So don't worry when you see that. The screen resolution will change completely. Just allow it to finish starting, and then in the same way as usual, hit the start button and switch the machine off fully. And hopefully that will resolve the problem. That it does sometimes do that. I mean, I've got machines that do that, and frankly, you know, it's irritating, but it's not the end of the world. But with a bit of luck, this should resolve that problem.
I hope that helps, Barry. If you've got a question for our gadget detective, you can call 03 459 570 057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Now, on to your gadget of the week then, Fevzy. This is a splash-proof, wireless, Bluetooth, rechargeable, portable speaker.
That's right.
Does a lot, this thing.
Yeah, it's only little. It's an little speaker. So it's called a Kitsound Gravity. Gravity is the model. Kitsound is the brand. Just to give you an idea, this thing is about 6.5 inches long. It looks a bit like a chunky Toblerone bar. Okay, it's that shape. It's sort of triangular at the ends, okay. And it's about 6.5 inches long. And it's a pair of stereo speakers in there. And the thing is very robustly designed. And I'll demonstrate that. See, I don't worry about that, and that's just my head. But it's a pair of stereo speakers in there that actually the sound it produces belies the size of the device. It's quite good for the, I mean, it's not going to fill a large room, but it will work well in the circumstances it's designed to. So for example, if you're going out on a little picnic or just outdoors in your garden, it's a good source of sound for that. It has the rechargeable battery inside it, so you charge it up and it gives you about 6 hours of music, sometimes a bit more.
I guess you could use it in the bathroom if you fancy a sing song in the shower.
Well, exactly, because it's designed to be splash proof. So it's what's called IPX4 rated, which means you can't submerge it in water. Don't do that. But if it gets splashed, it should survive. And in fact, if you look at it, the buttons on one end are, I'm just holding up to the mic so you can look at it, the buttons at one end are sort of rubberized and sealed, and at the other end where the sockets are, there's a little rubber flap, and when you pull that up, you see that there's a on-off switch, a charging port, and even a wired input port. So you can run it in a conventional way by having a cable running into it, but the way in which it's really most designed to be used is wirelessly. So you connect it via Bluetooth. So what I do is, when I'm about to venture into the bathroom and I don't want to take my expensive smartphone and worry about dropping it or the humidity damaging it, then I leave the phone outside or in my bedroom. I go into the bathroom, I whack up the volume, I've paired it already, I can continue listening to my favorite podcast or radio program through the smartphone, which is sending via Bluetooth.
Fevzy, I had no idea you listened to me when you were in the bath.
I do, but I didn't want to say that, and I wanted to save my blushes. I can then take the unit, I can then go down to for breakfast and still have the unit in my hand. It's still working. I don't have to worry about any humidity in the kitchen or anywhere else. So it's a very nice little device, and it's sort of chunky, as I say, because it's triangular when you do a cross section of it. But you can fit it in a jacket pocket quite comfortably, and it's a very good sound. So I like that. For those that are into their specifications, IPX4 rated.
It's not a bad price either, is it?
No, it's not. You need to watch it because the list price on it is 70. No one's selling it. No one's selling it for 70, but you can pay 40 for this quite easily. The cheapest price I found for it today was £29. I'm not going to obviously mention the retailer, but if you just, you know, do a quick internet search, you will find
it. So worth shopping around.
Yeah, and at that price, I've given it 4 stars out of 5, and I just think it's a nice little durable, solid, good sounding speaker. Just to give you an idea, it weighs 270 grams, 2 times 2.5 watts, good bass response, and don't mistake it for a Toblerone because you will break your teeth on it. Okay. It's black with a yellow trim. It kind of looks a bit like a bumblebee.
Fantastic. Now, I can't have you on and not talk about this Facebook campaign. And we mentioned it earlier. They're trying to raise awareness about fake news. In fact, I think I'm right saying last time you were on, we didn't actually get a chance to get to a question that someone had raised about fake news and how best to try and avoid it. So they were clicking on things, thinking it was a real story. And of course, it's just clickbait. And of course, now, in the run-up to the general election, I suppose the worry is we're going to see even more fake news.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting because there's a BBC documentary going out tonight, Panorama, that actually has concluded that Facebook played a decisive role in both the American election, the outcome of the American election, and the outcome of the British EU referendum. Mm. So it's incumbent upon them to try and do away with fake news. And it's interesting that Facebook has taken a series of advertisements out, where not on Facebook but in the Times, the Guardian, the Daily Telegraph, etc. And this is more to do with politics in terms of what they're doing, because they've been heavily criticised for not getting their act together in this regard.
Well, because they're not classed as a broadcast, are they? They're classed as a platform, so then they're not subject to the same regulations that, say, for example, the BBC are.
Yeah, so their argument would be they're more like a conduit, like a water pipe or a telephone wire. They're not responsible. They are clearly closer to being a publication than they are a conduit, but you know, they are something completely different. So they've come up with these guidelines. I would say a lot of them are common sense, but it's amazing what people will believe. And their guidelines are these, and I'll read them verbatim. Be skeptical of headlines and people on the radio. Look closely at the URL, that's to say the web address. Make sure it is what it appears to be. And that sort of gets back to our first caller when he said it's a reputable website, to which I reply, is it? Look carefully. Mm. Investigate the source. So if you get a news story, just see if it's come from some sort of reputable source. Watch for unusual formatting. That's to say, does the news story look a bit unusual? Does it look in any way unprofessional? Look at the photos. Check the date as well, because sometimes stories are circulated and you think because they've just popped up in your Facebook feed that they're brand new news, but they could be 10 years old and you're quoting from something that's completely out of date. Check the evidence. Look for other reports that support it from independent sources. And also, is the story a joke? Okay. Some stories are intentionally false satire. If you need to read this list, I think, to understand satire, then we are in trouble. But,
although the times we live in, sometimes you read something thinking it's satire and it's not. It's actually really happened. Well, it's real life.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, you only have to look at what's happened in America. But still, okay. So that's what they're saying. Be aware. Be really careful about what you pass on. Because that's the other thing, you know, are you sharing fake news, you know, without even realising that it's fake? And just look for the sources. Does that story appear anywhere else? You know, the problem is, you know, you get this narrative about the mainstream media and therefore it's insular, because of course the mainstream media don't report it, if that's your mindset. And the problem with all social media platforms, and this is not just Facebook, is that it reinforces your worldview in a way much more than, of course, people have always bought the newspaper that reflected their worldview. People do that. It's human nature. We don't like to have our views challenged. We like to have them reinforced. But this is just reinforcing it to the nth degree, because you follow the people that agree with you. You get news from the people that agree with you, and you share what you believe with people that agree with you. So it concentrates it far more than just simply reading a newspaper, which at least at some level should have a propensity towards some form of truth. Whereas these stories, they are completely without regulation. Someone can literally sit down and make stuff up. And that happened in France Oh, and by the way, we talked about this last time. You were away. I haven't seen your note yet. But we talked about this last time that it thought that foreign governments were trying to hack the French election. And sure enough, just before the election, Macron's emails were published.
Mm.
So, but just be careful. We're coming up to an election. Doesn't matter who you vote for, vote. And just be aware that everything may not be what it appears to be.
Yes, check it out. A little bit of cynicism can go a long way.
Indeed.
Now, of course, people can follow you on Twitter and get free tech advice.
They can. Come and say hello on Gadget Detective. It'd be delightful to speak to you. You know, feel free to ask questions there or just make comments, that's fine.
Yeah, and they can also listen to the tech phone in via the BBC's Let's Talk About Tech podcast. So you can even go back and listen to tech phone-ins from earlier weeks. And as always, they promise to be full of technical knowledge, but jargon-free, something we can actually understand, which is always helpful.
And as we always say, there is no such thing as a dumb question.